Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Yeah. Okay. Tape's running, Phil. Praise God. We just have to chop off the front. Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome you. We're just going to get started right on time. The Lord spoke to me very clear. So that's not too loud for anybody? It's not too loud? Okay. The Lord spoke to me. I think I sound loud to myself. Very clear about something I'm to talk about today. And so I'm excited about that. I have that in my spirit. How about if we just go ahead? Let's just pray right now, and then I can just open my heart. Father, we just turn to you right now. We just look to you right now. And I just want to thank you for each and every person hungry enough and faith-filled enough to come in this door and be here today. Father, I would ask that your love, your revelation, understanding, and the power of your spirit would move upon each and every precious soul in this place. And Father, I thank you that your will be done. Raise us up and train us up to be all that you paid the price for us to be. And let your great desire be fulfilled in our lives. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, move in this place in the love and power of God. Father, we thank you for it. We give you all the glory and honor. Lord Jesus, I just thank you and I magnify you and praise you for shedding your blood, for making this all possible, for coming and being the Word of God and being manifest in the flesh and giving even of your own flesh that we might have life. Lord Jesus, I just personally want to thank you for being Lord and being so loving and so humble and so giving. It says you humbled yourself to the point of death, even death on the cross. There was no cost too great to redeem my soul. You love me that much. Thank you. Let your love be profuse in this place. Let our hearts see and understand the love of God. Let it not be an intellectual thing today, but let it be a hearty and faith-filled thing in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Yeah, Tom, no, just bring that up here. That's fine. Hallelujah. Praise God. It was laying on Brenda's, right on top of her. Amen. Praise God. The Bible, I believe, is the Word of God. Amen. And I believe if you're not living out of the Word of God or the Bible, you're going to be living out of what seems right to a man, intellect, rationale, psychology, philosophy, human opinion, or something. The world's full of it. Amen. I believe that's why God gave us His Word. I'm glad God gave us His Word. I don't have a problem anymore. I used to. I don't have a problem anymore with the Word of God because I think I've taught myself enough that my ways just aren't right and neither are most other people's. If we're not living the Word, we're not living at all. That's just what I believe, okay? So I got you here in the church, and I'm just going to tell you what I believe. I believe the Word of God is the Word of God. And if you're not living by the Word of God, you're not living at all. Heaven and earth will pass away. His Word remains. Now, here's the thing. You know, you even got disputes nowadays about King James and different translations. And we found a lot of reasons in the church to fight with each other. And that's not the will of God at all, okay? We've hashed a lot of issues and got distracted from the real issue, and that's redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ, right standing with God, right identity, and Holy Ghost power in our lives, okay? Jesus died to get us back in God, all right? And back in right standing and right relationship and into original value. That's redemption. That's the word redemption. So we get on a lot of issues and we miss the power of the gospel. We should be preaching the gospel, okay? So that's all I do here. I preach the gospel on Wednesday. And we've gotten on these translations is what I was saying. And here's a no-fail thing. If you get yourself a hold of a concordance, the internet's probably available. Who's an internet person and knows what to look like? Word searches on the internet. What would you look on to find Greek and Hebrew words? Somebody would know what to do there. I'm illiterate with computers. I just know the Word of God. But a computer, you can go on certain word searches. You can pull up words and find them in the Greek, find them in the Hebrew if you get on a Christian site, you know. But just get yourself a simple concordance. And I don't do this all the time. But I do it when it impresses in my heart, when the Holy Spirit tells me. I'll look up certain words to grasp the original root meaning of that word. Like the New Testament was written in the Greek language, so I'm looking up a Greek word And I'm finding what that Greek word means. Now, whoever looked up a word in Webster's dictionary for a definition, we probably all did. And there might be what? Six words that best define the word we're looking up. So there might be 5 or 6 words, but you can only use one. Now, a lot of people struggle with the Amplified. I enjoy the Amplified at times. I don't read it in my daily reading, but I'll read it to grasp the fullness of something. I'll tap into the Amplified Bible sometimes because here's what it does. It takes, like, say, Webster's Dictionary, and it's saying something, and when it gets to a certain word, it'll take whatever Webster's would say, it'll put the whole thing in there. But what's wrong with that? Because it brings out the fullness of that word, okay? So here's what I'm getting at. I use this all the time in the healing service about the word saved, because I know the power of that word has been stolen in our English language and our English understanding. When somebody walks up and says, Pamela, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. You saved, Dan? Yeah, I'm saved. We think we're talking about going to heaven. Most people think they're going, you know, that means going to heaven. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And if you study out the word saved in the Greek language, it's sozo. The word is sozo. I guess I'm pronouncing that right. It's actually looks like sozoe when you look it out. You know, it's sode-zoe. That's how it is. What's that called in the parentheses? The pronunciation. But the spelling is sozo. So it just sounds easy to say sozo. But that's where they get the word saved from. Now, it's the concordance is just like a Webster's dictionary in this sense. You look up the word sozo, and here's what it says. Because you can only use one word in the translation of English, right? The word sozo means saved, healed, protected, delivered, made whole, do well. The word sozo means all that, no less. It means all that. Now, you're reading your Bible today in English. Somebody, bless God, purpose to translate it so we could all be blessed by it. And they have to pick one word out there that best describes the fullness of the word. So they pick the word saved. I think that's good because, well, if you have a terminal sickness and you're about ready to die and Jesus intervenes, what did he do? He saved you, right? You're bound in sin and you're on your way to destruction and depravity, and Jesus intervenes, what'd he do? He saved you. You're driving down the road, and the Holy Spirit says, slow down, slow down, slow down. And you're like, what? What? Slow down, slow down, slow down. And right in front of you, you go, that's pretty wild. No, Holy Ghost does that stuff. What'd he just do? He saved you. So the word saved is the best word to put in the English, but we have to know what the word saved really means. And it's an original Greek word. It was written by the man of God that wrote it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? It was written in a Greek word called sozo that meant all the above. Now, it's very important. You've got to catch this because I'm going to read scripture after scripture to you today that reveals the covenant we have with God and God's intention and God's purpose and God's will, to the point where you can expect to be found in a certain realm and receive in certain ways from God, where your faith can rise up and lay a hold of the truth. You see what I'm saying? Because they just live by faith. What we don't know is destroying us. What we don't understand, what we're blinded to, is eating us up. It says if we dwell in the secret place, man, that's a place of covenant with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm in the secret place. It's not some mystical atmosphere. It's a heart knowing. It's a faith knowing that I'm right with God. He's for me. He's in me. I'm in him. It's a secret place. It seems hidden in a sense. My life is hidden in Christ, but it ain't hidden to me. You see what I'm saying? I'm in this secret place. I'm abiding in the vine. I'm in God through Christ Jesus. And it says, you will in that place abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You read the rest of that psalm. It's incredible. He intervenes and pushes away demonic power. He protects your home and the atmosphere of your life. He says, nothing will come upon you and overtake you. No evil shall befall you when you're dwelling in that place. That's why you can hear the Holy Ghost. Slow down, slow down, slow down. John D. Lake was on a mountain road one time driving. The Holy Spirit said, pull over on the other side of the road. Quickly, quickly, pull over on the other side of the road. And he thought, well, pull over on the other side of the road. So he pulled over on the other side of the road, and he pulled in over under this little thing. And about the time he got in there, he just knew it was the voice of God. He just did it. He heard these brakes screaming. Here come a tractor trailer around the corner, lost control. It was like jackknifing, and it came broadside around the corner. It would have totally wiped him out and knocked him off a couple hundred foot cliff. And he's sitting tucked in under the cleft of the rock, you know. Amen. I'm getting spiritual here. That's good. Moses got tucked in. See, because he said he pulled in this little tucked in spot. Well, that's God. So the truck, sure. And he said the truck did get its bearings, and actually it didn't wreck. It got straight and kept going. But had it not been for that whisper of the Holy Spirit, well, he said it was more intense. Pull over now. Hurry. Cross. And he did it. Had it not been for the voice of God, he would have been wiped out. Isn't that amazing? So we can abide and dwell in that secret place and be under the shadow, the protection. Oh, my God. You know, later in that Psalms, it says, because we made the Lord our refuge, who is the Most High God, no sickness shall enter our dwelling, and no evil shall befall. You know, that's a promise. That's a promise. So that's God's will speaking through the psalmist. Or somebody made a mistake, and let's tear out the page. Come on, we're either going to believe the word or we're not. We're going to take all the word, or we're probably going to set ourselves up for fall. See, people come up with little pieces of the word. They pull the Bible out of context. They use segments of scripture. And I say, let's define that through the whole counsel of God. Let's understand what this interpretation is by looking at the word of God. And that's just healthy, okay? Don't go picking little pieces out to create your own theology and make the Bible say what you want it to say or what you can believe for. Let's see what the Bible's really saying through the whole counsel of God. I got on it last week about Paul. People are saying Paul was sick and God said no. If Paul was sick and God said no, we got a big problem. We got to pull a lot of pages out. We got God's character's even in question. God's promises are broken. I mean, if God came to Paul and said, Paul, I know what I wrote in all those books. I know what I wrote in all those scriptures. I know what I said. Oh, I know every promise is yes and amen. But just trust me, I'm wiser than you. And right now I'm saying no. Then you and I forever would have a question mark. We'd never know what we could even receive from God. It would be whatever he thinks, feels, or imagines that day, or whether he's having a good day or not, or whatever. And God's not like that. He's a father. We're his kids. He's trying to make sense to us. John G. Lake was another thing he said. I don't know why I'm bringing him up so much today, because I haven't read none of his stuff for a while, but it's in me here. He said, God wants a people to associate with on his own plane. That's why he filled us with his spirit. That's why he gave us his promises. He said, or else he'd have a bunch of imbeciles that could never know him and never would know him, and he's just the puppet master or something. No, he wants children. Who's here that has children and you've watched them grow and you've sat and you've related to them, you've helped them in time of trouble, you've had fellowship, face-to-face intimacy stuff, and that's what it's all about. Why is it any different with God, our Father? Are we just so religious and blind and traditional that we're just not in any faith at all? Look, I'm going to share some scriptures with the word saved in, because the Lord's been showing me this, and he's saying, look what I'm really saying, Dan. I mean, it's God's will is so emphatically written in the Bible, if you just dare preach. You know, people say, well, how do I know it's God's will to heal everybody? Did you believe it's God's will to heal everybody? I had a pastor get in my face over that. That was his challenge question. And I looked at him and smiled and said, emphatically, yes, I believe that. And he just, wow, he just blew up on it. And do you know the Bible says that it's God's will to heal everybody? That's always been a tough one, hasn't it, Phil? People say, well, it doesn't say that in the Bible. Where's God's will? How do you know God's will? It actually says it. I'm just going to start right here. Let's go to Timothy. Anybody need a Bible? Want to look through? Follow with the Bible? I'll give you a Bible if you need one. I got to hop in on this. This is a healing service. We're going to talk about God's will. See, we just preached the gospel in a healing service. That word salvation, who heard it's a pretty extensive word. I actually have a pretty cool Bible here. There's a spot here, if I can find it while you're going to. Where did I send you? 1 Timothy? Go to 1 Timothy. I'm going to Luke 7 just because the word saved is defined on my Bible here. I have a word wealth caption here. If you have a Spirit-filled life Bible, it has a word wealth, and it's really cool. The word saved, sozo, watch this. To save, to heal, to cure, to preserve. I like that. Ooh, watch this. To keep safe and sound. This is all the word sozo. Every time you see the word saved in the New Testament, except for four times, it's sozo. Three times it's soteria, which is almost the identical same word. And the other time is when Noah and eight souls were saved from the water. It means like if a building's burning and Phil pulls over his truck, ta-da, he jumps out in the Holy Ghost or jumps out of his car and he runs into a burning building and pulls out a little child or something. He just saved him from that fire. He delivered him from the fire. It's more of a deliverance from trouble. You see what I mean? That word is a different word. But every time you see the word saved in the New Testament, but that one time in 1 Peter chapter 3, it's this word. Every time. Now that ought to help us here in the future when we're reading our Bible, okay? Because here's what it means. To save, to heal, to cure, to preserve what? To keep safe and sound. To rescue from danger or destruction. To deliver. Sozo saves from physical death by healing and from spiritual death by forgiving sin and its effects. Sozo, that is all tied up in this one word. Now, you sure couldn't print all that in the Bible. Our Bibles would be 4 feet high if you'd use every word, if you'd print the full definition of all these words. So it pays on some of these vital words. What's it mean that all that call on the name of the Lord shall be sozo? Uh-oh. All that call in the name of the Lord shall be sozo. Saved. We're going to get into this. This will be good. See, that's the definition. And here it even has a little insight here. It says sozo in its primitive culture is translated simply as this: to give new life and to cause to have a new heart. Now what? Sickness and disease isn't new life. Sickness isn't life at all. Bondage, depression, burdens, not new life, right? The old nature and character of man, that's not a new heart. Remember in Ezekiel 36? I will put a new heart in you and a new spirit. What he's saying is, I'm going to sozo my people. I'm going to redeem them from sin and the effects of sin through the blood of my son. And I'm going to cut a covenant everlasting and unbreakable. And I'm going to save them from destruction. Sozo. Amen. So where did I take you? 1 Timothy? I got to get there quick. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Watch this. Chapter 2. It's good to read your Bible in context, okay? Do you know what that means? Don't just pull a section out and preach it and quote it and declare it all the time. Read above it and read behind it, you know? Find out what it's really saying, because even this one is the full meaning of this first two verses, which we use a lot in prayer meetings and stuff. It comes out if you read the next couple of verses. You'll see the love and desire of God for man, okay? Because it says, therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? For who? All men. So God's not disqualifying anyone, is he? He's the lover of all men. He so loved the world, he gave his son. He loves us. Look. He's saying, I'm exhorting you that supplications, that specific prayers, I don't have time to define all this stuff, but prayers, intercessions, that standing on behalf of others and interceding, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all who are in authority. This is a continuation right now of this, that we may lead a peaceable, quiet life in all godliness and reverence. Wow. It sounds like man's obedience to prayer and faith in Jesus determines the atmosphere of life. It sounds like if Christians would actually respond to God, things could change. It sounds like life could be peaceable. You see that? And there could be a godliness and a reverence in the atmosphere instead of everything we experience if Christians would just take God at his word. Because that's his promise right here. That's the reason we're going to do this. Now watch. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. That we live this way because this is his heart for man. Verse 4, who desires all men to be sozoed and to come to the knowledge of truth. Do you see it says right in your Bible, it's God's will to sozo every man, to heal every man, to deliver every man, to cure every man, to preserve every man and protect every man. Whew. To keep safe and sound every man. Am I doing the scripture injustice to fill the blank with those definitions, if that's the Greek word? Absolutely not. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm reading this to you right now, and you're seeing the will of God is what? He desires all men to be saved. That doesn't mean he does. See what we do in our English language? We grab that and use that as our prayer for our son to get saved, our brother to get saved, our mom to get saved, meaning go to heaven, get born again. But it's so much deeper. In fact, the word sozo, if you study it out, it's not really talking in an everlasting life sense really that much at all. You can't find that in the definition because Jesus referenced everlasting life when it's necessary. He references eternal life. The word sozo, the word save, it's actually more of a here and now kind of word. You see what I'm saying when you study it out? It's important to learn the definition of these words so you know what you're reading when you read your Bible. Because I've had all my Christian life now, which hasn't been that long, 8 years I've been saved. I've had people say, well, you don't know if it's the will of God that you... Well, I could take them right to the Bible and show. It's God's desire. First, it's his good and acceptable in his sight that we what? Pray for all men, lift up all men, and keep all men before him in prayer. Why? Because he cares about the state of all men. Is that clear to you in this text? Do you see the heart of God in this, the will of God? But yet we attribute God to the problem, messing with our mind, putting us in positions where we're like squeezed half to death. Come on. We got God all backwards. We've got God with multi-personality. God needs counsel if he's who we say he is. God needs somebody to deliver him. He's a confusing person. How can I even love him and serve him if he's all the things that Christians say he is? I'll tell you what the Bible says he is. The Bible says he's love. The Bible says he's good. Isn't that right? The Bible says his mercy endures forever. He's not playing head games with me. He loves me as a son. I can barely talk about that without crying. It's so true to me. Why? Because I'm looking in my Bible. How can I argue with it? Who desires all men? That's you, friend. That's me. All men to be saved. And watch this. And come to the knowledge of what? Truth. What's truth? My word is truth. He says, I'm the way, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. 1 Corinthians 1 says, God, through Jesus Christ, it says, God sent Jesus Christ who became wisdom for us. I've got to look through Jesus, speak through Jesus, live through Jesus. He's wisdom from God for me. Any other way? It's man's way. It's man's wisdom. And it'll fall short. See? God's desire is that we all get saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, kept safe and sound. And that we all come to the knowledge of truth. Because when we know the truth, John 8:32, the truth will what? What makes you free? The truth. What? Not some mystical thing that falls from heaven. Not just some feeling you get in a church service. Truth makes you free. You can get touched by the anointing and the Holy Ghost and get changed for a moment and not have truth in your heart and next week be in the same mess you were in the week before. Who's found that to be true in their life? Jesus will come in an atmosphere of corporate anointing and he'll reveal himself and all eyes are like on him and like, whoa. And all of a sudden things that were there aren't there anymore and things that weren't there are and he just does things, right? And all of a sudden, it seems like, well, now we get back to reality. And then we paw and claw to get back into that service or that atmosphere, and we try to find that secret place. The place is truth. It's found in truth. You can live there. I'm getting excited. Truth will make you free. And what's God's desire? That every man be filled with the knowledge of truth. That means it's not some deep hidden mystery that I have to paw and claw to find. God has made himself known through Jesus Christ, his Son. God's revealed himself through Jesus. And it's his desire that we have the knowledge of him. So God's not holding out. He's not playing charades. He's not playing a guessing game. But I'll say this because it's coming in my spirit. This is a gospel for the humble. You can't afford attitudes. You can't afford attitudes. You can't afford an ounce of pride in your life. You can't cop opinions. You can't be one of these people that go, Well, I'll tell you what I think. But I'm not trying to be smart to anybody here. I'll turn my head this way. Who cares what you think? What? Peon without God. Nobody. Nothing. Okay? I didn't look at anybody. Okay? Watch. Who cares what you think? 6.5 billion people on the earth, and you're going to cop an opinion. Who cares? If you're not preaching Jesus, zip it. Okay? I didn't say that to nobody there. I'm just talking to whoever that would be. Okay? Y'all love me? But we just got to get humble. Do you know that's humble? Do you know that I've come to those terms? I believe that for my life because I was a great opinion copper. I really thought I was somebody in the sight of man. When I was around man, had a great need to be right, and I had a need to sound like I knew what I was talking about, and I had it all together, and it was shallow and surface and sending me to hell because it was feeding me in a false way. See what I mean? Had no root to it, no depth to it, no heart to it. And I didn't care about you. I cared about me. But that attitude, it's a peon attitude. That word, I used that word. I'm not going to retract it. That's a zero. Okay? You can't afford attitudes in this gospel. You can't afford pride. Pride is a fall. Man, pride will take you far away from the truth. Pride will blind your eyes and blind your heart. We come to God humbly, believing that he is with the word. Don't get frustrated with the word. Don't get frustrated with your experiences and your circumstances. Purpose to stay humble. Now, I'm really trying to teach you here and preach you into a place of edification. Stay humble and seek God's face through his word. And don't let yourself get frustrated and confused. Don't run ahead of God with 100 questions. Don't run your mind and say, yeah, well, then how come? But how come? Well, then what about da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Go slow, slow up. If you need to ask questions, ask them one at a time and get the answer through his word, not two or three friends and then weigh who said what and whoever said the, you know, I asked 5 friends, 3 said this, 2 said this, I'll lean on this. This is probably the answer. Sometimes you ask 5 friends and you get 5 different answers and none of them are God, okay? Learn to seek God through his word. Look, I read in my Bible that God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. You can never talk me out of it from this day forth. So is it God's will to be for God to heal everybody, Dan? Absolutely, better believe it. Just open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and you'll find it right there. Well, it says saved. I believe he wants every man to go to heaven. That's what people will say. Well, no, the word sozo doesn't even mean go to heaven. The word sozo, I already, you know, defined it very clearly, right? What? There is one God. Now he's going to tell how we're going to get saved. This is a profuse chapter here. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. He's the man, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, the anointed one, Emmanuel, God with us, who gave himself a ransom for everybody. What's he doing? He's sealing this baby down. He's showing you the exact reason why he can write what he's writing to Timothy, because God sent his son between God and man. He's the mediator, and he gave himself a ransom for all of us, to be testified in due time. At the fullness of times, God sent his son, paid the price, and delivered man from his despair if he'll just what? Believe. It's very clear. So Paul's writing this so by the Holy Spirit, this is like deep. He's asking that prayer be lifted up for all men because God's caring about all men. It's good, acceptable in his sight because he desires this for everybody, and he's doing it through Jesus. You see why it's important to preach Jesus and speak Jesus and understand Jesus and the power of the blood? Amen. So there's a saved scripture that you can keep, man. You can put it on your refrigerator. You know, he desires me to be saved and be filled with the knowledge of truth. God is desperately seeking to make entryway into my heart and into my understanding and show me the truth. Glory to God. Let's go to John chapter 3 real quick. This is a good one. Now, you just love me in this. Every time I hit the word saved, I'm going to read it in the fullness of its definition so you grasp this, okay? Would you all agree with me, or at least would people agree with me that when you hear the word saved in your Christian life, you just always automatically felt born again? When you hear the word saved, somebody's saved, they're born again. We use that word for being born again. I'm going to show you, we're going to read in a minute in Romans, one of the most popular sections of scripture that people use to, quote, lead people to the Lord or born again. And I'm going to show you the depth of what it's really saying today. It's powerful because that's the one he gave me first, but I'm saving it for last. He showed it to me first to get my attention, but I'm saving it for last. But we've turned it into just say this, confess this, just say that Jesus is from God and that he raised from the dead. Just confess it with your mouth and you'll be saved. But we're going to look at the depth of what it's really saying. But look at this. John 3. Let's start in verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, this is Jesus talking. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you'll see that these are Jesus' words speaking. Now, he was saying the same way Moses had to lift up that serpent on that pole, cursed is everything that hangs on a tree, right? Now, I never understood why he had to put the serpent on the pole. That was their problem. That was the thing that was biting them and killing them. And he had to put it on a pole and they had to look at it to be healed. And I used to always think that is so weird. Okay? Whoever agreed and thought that. So Betty's back. She's thinking the same thing. And I'm thinking, you know what? It's the exact answer. That's what it is. Look. Cursed is the very thing that was killing them. It's now on the pole and it's represented as cursed. It's cursed by God. It's cursed. And it can't kill them anymore. So when they look at it and see that it's cursed, it's defeated, its power is destroyed, they're healed. It's so simple. And I never understood it. You see what I'm saying? The snake's running around biting them. He's their problem. He's killing them. Now the snake's lifted up on a pole. Everything that's hanging on a tree, everything tacked to that tree, it's cursed under the law. As soon as they look up and see that it's cursed, faith's released and it can't kill them anymore. It's cursed. It's under the curse. It's not. And they were healed instantly. Do you know the Bible says that in the book of Numbers, that that's what happened? So Jesus is saying, as Moses, meaning the same way, the same thing, he said, I will be lifted up so that whoever believes in me should not perish but have eternal life. Watch this. Jesus was hung on the cross. Cursed is every man hanging on a tree. He's cursed. We have redemption. He's cursed. We're blessed. He's separate from God. We have fellowship with God. He suffered. We received the benefit and blessing of the price he paid. Why? He became what was killing us. What was killing us? Sin. Sin entered the earth and death came. Because every man sinned, every man dies. Jesus became sin. 2 Corinthians 5, he was made to be sin. He was hung on a cross. Cursed is every man on a tree. Now when I, with that knowledge, look to Jesus hanging on a tree, I see that sin and the dominion of sin has been destroyed, for God has cursed sin in the flesh. He has put his own son on the tree, and when I look to him, I'm set free. Sin shall have no dominion over me. That's why I'm excited, okay? Because I'm understanding this now. It's the power of the gospel. He died so I could live. Now watch the paradox of this. Because it was for man, and he was a man, and God rose him from the dead, it's only through him that I can live. He had to die and become death. And it's only through him that I can find life. It's only through him that I can find death to sin and death to me. But it's only through him that I can find life to God. So he accomplished it both on the cross when he rose for our justification. You see what I'm saying? That's the power of the gospel. What was destroying me? Sin. See, God's not looking at your life. That's why Christians shouldn't be condemned. That's why he says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because sin is not your issue anymore. Let's get off of sin in our personal lives. Let's stop dreading it and walking on eggshells and feeling like we're sinners and bags of flesh. And let's start saying, thank you, God, for setting me free, making me righteous, and saving me by your grace. Well, that'll change your heart. That'll invoke your love life. That'll cause you to want to do right in the sight of God. The more you focus on righteousness, the more you focus on your relationship with God, the more sin is found to be dead in your life. Now, I found that to be true. You can find that in Romans 6. Righteousness has its fruit unto holiness. So Jesus says right here that as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man. So what was killing us was put on the cross. Was it Jesus that was killing us? No, it was what he became on the cross. Because it's Jesus that's making us live. Isn't that amazing? That's the deep wisdom of God. No wonder Satan didn't know what was going on and put him up there. And 1 Corinthians 9 says if the rulers of the earth had any idea what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it. But they did it. And the power of God is released for any man that would believe, okay? So he said, for God so loved the world. It's all about love, isn't it? Is God mad at anybody? Is God looking to redeem and restore? Is God looking to deliver? Absolutely. Look, it's all about love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, if who believes in him? Whoever, right? Do you see no one's disqualified? Do you see this door is open for all mankind? Do you know that there's people that try to get themselves out of this equation in their minds? They believe lies and they disqualify themselves. But he said, whoever. Whoever believes. You mean you can be saved? Yeah. You mean she can be? You mean he can be? You mean they can get saved? Absolutely. Right? Whoever believes, very powerful word, in him should not perish. Wow. What? He's not using the word sozo. He didn't say, what? Should not perish, but be saved. He said, have everlasting life. So he's talking about eternal salvation there, right? He's talking about getting redeemed and your spirit reborn, regenerated, and revived in Christ Jesus. But then watch the next verse. Whew, here's the covenant package and the covenant blessing in the next verse.